2022. Why did they continue to pay 400 hours in 2022? We need an explanation from the Office of the Chair and the CEO and the CFO. So that's why I'm saying we must not also shoot ourselves. Where we have agreed as the portfolio committee, we have agreed, but where we can tell is after the initial proposal presentation they have made to the portfolio committee that it will end when. But the one that starts after the time frame that they have given us, that is the one that is relevant for us. Question. So that is the one that you are questioning. I agree with you. That's why I wanted us to be clear first as honorable members so that we don't cloud the whole thing. I second what you're saying. Let's concentrate on the one that we have, the payments that they've done after it was supposed to be ended somewhere in December or January. Because 2022, why would you pay for 100 hours whereas there's no COVID? We are no longer in level 5, or level 4, level 3, level 2, level 1. We are in level 0. So what informs that payment? So that's why I need our staff to separate that. We concentrate on the ones that are starting in 2022. But we need to read the report so that when we question them, it must be from where it was supposed to have ended it. And what did the Office of the Chair do? Because the chairperson and the CEO and the CFO, they should comply. They are the ones who are dealing with policy. They should read documents. How do you approve payments when you do not consider FMA, when you do not even consider the policy? They must issue their resolution. So I think we're done with that one. I think it's clear to you, that one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson would allow me and members, can I go to the BRR report? Exactly to that observation section. Members can see what's been captured, whether you agree to it, and then move to the recommendations so that you can see what has been requested. So that based on the discussions now, we ensure that the correct message is being translated. If that is okay, I see Ms. Schling was handed up before I share the report.
I want to note that, Mam Sema. Honorable Mam Sema.
Chairperson, good morning to you and honorable members.
Good morning, Ma.
I fully support what you have said, Chairperson, because these three chair, CFO, CEO are the executive who are accountable for this pandemic. Therefore, they should account for this. You cannot sign the payment whereas you know exactly that the work is not done. Therefore, I'm 100% support you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mam Sema. Thank you very much, Ma. So, and then we'll include Ma lay every day.
Yes,
she was claiming that her parents were sick and so forth. So how was she submitting things when she's not working?
When she's not working?
Yeah.
Why?
She was paying for what? That's public money.
Yes.
So we need to recoup that money.
Yes.
Including the 100 hours for Mayoma. When she's not coming to portfolio committee
and report
attending some their plenary meeting.
I knew it very much. I knew.
Yeah. So those are the things that we want. With regarding to the payment of other leave and a certain tax, that also needs to be taken properly. I am not satisfied. I'm not satisfied on what the CFO was presenting that day.
And I too. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, it needs proper investigation. Which is why was the meeting not in charge? Why were other officials not away?
Meetings
as the commissioners have It was unclear to the committee.
And you're right, these new ones, like their own hold. I don't think
the second proportion to that, regards to the Botha matter, the committee noted the concern that Commissioner Botha was invited to speak at an event on behalf of TG while still on suspension. The matter was brought to the attention of TG by the committee, and the committee requested feedback in that regard. As the committee had not received any formal correspondence from the CGE prior to the committee meeting in that regard, the committee sought an explanation about how the commission dealt with the matter. The committee was dissatisfied with the response provided by the CGE as it had yet to look into the matter. In terms of HR, the committee noted that the term of office of all commissioners has come to an end on 31 October, which included the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. As such, the committee inquired about the continuity plans in place. The committee deemed it important to ensure a smooth transition for the incumbent commissioners. The committee noted that staff turnover, particularly resignations, inquired about the challenges related to staff retention. To this end, the committee asked about mitigation strategies to ensure institutional memory. The committee recalled that it had previously recommended to the CGE to conduct exit interviews and questioned whether this was implemented. In terms of finance, spending, the committee noted with concern the underspending, $14.2 million, and requested an explanation in that regard. Given the importance of the work rendered by the CGE, the committee deemed it unacceptable that funds are not utilized optimally, particularly for an institution that stands to be under-resourced and requires more funding. So this is wasteful expenditure. The committee noted the concerns of prudent expenditure of over $5 million incurred for the CGE, of which over $2 million related to the 2021 payment of part-time commissioners without timesheets. The 17% profit fund, the committee noted the concern that the matter related to the payment of certain officials is still not being resolved. This despite the committee having recommended in its 2021 budget review report that the CGE should submit to the committee in writing a comprehensive report on the 17% Provident Fund issue. The CGE provided the committee with an update on the matter, its briefing of the annual report, and stated that the matter has still not been resolved. It would appear that no official officials have been held to account in this regard for having implemented the policy decision from the onset, nor why it cannot be rescinded. In other words, why it can't be stopped. This was particularly concerning to the committee. Payment of leave gratuity to former CFO. The committee was not completely satisfied with the explanation provided by the CFO regarding the leave payout of the former CEO, whose contract terminated in 2020. The committee was made aware of an erroneous leave gratuity payout to the former CEO. The CGE had briefed the committee in this regard in 2020 and 2021 on this matter. It would appear that the matter has still not been resolved. The committee sought more information in this regard and was not satisfied with the slow pace of progress in resolving the matter. At its check, the committee noted that two commissioners received the third check payment in 2021-22 and questioned why this was the case. The committee was satisfied with the response by the CFO in this regard, which related to the manner in which commissioners had structured their total package. Payment of part-time commissioners. The committee noted the serious concern of fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred of over $2 million, which is attributed again to the payment of part-time commissioners without the requisite timing. The committee noted that the CGE had informed their members via correspondence sent on the 21st of September, dealing with the Q4 of 2021 and Q1 of 2021-22. The report that was sent was audit committee response to portfolio committee questions. Sent to the committee from the CGE's audit and risk committee, the following was noted, and in that section of the report, number 3, human resources, audit internal control deficiencies identified to HR are as follows. Part-time commissioners' salaries paid without supporting documentation. In that, for the period April to 2020, October 2020, when the country was in a national state due to COVID-19, part-time commissioners were paid 100 hours without supporting documentation. Further to this, the salary was paid without supporting timesheet approved by the executive authority. So just in terms of Chair's concern about, they informed us about the 100 hours and based on the outcome of the resolution in plenary, and that was in the year 2020. But nearly a year later, in September 2021, the committee received formal correspondence which showed what the issue is as articulated by the ARC. From the correspondence received and the documents assessed, payment of 100 hours exceeded the time period of April to October 2020. The payment arrangement exceeded the time frame and the committee was unaware and not informed. So picking up on Ms. Sharif's point that we didn't know that it went beyond October 2020. Furthermore, part-time commissioners were paid 100 hours per state for 22 months, not having submitted timesheets and or templates as the CGE Finance Department, which is an indictment of the CGE. This was noted as a matter of serious concern. The committee acknowledged Tenery's decision to implement the 100-hour flat rate on account of force majeure, the time period, stipulated as cited above. This governs Chair's concern that they've presented to us. However, the committee, having received and assessed the Commission's progress report per quarter for 2021-2022, in addition to the overview of attendance for 2019-22 at subcommittee meetings, plenaries, special plenaries, and portfolio committee meetings, was not satisfied that the 100-hour flat rate could have been extended beyond the stipulated period. The committee was not satisfied with the information hereto as a measure of justification of 100 hours per month for part-time commissioners. The activities reported, together with meeting attendance, would have not have sufficed for accumulating 100 hours a month. This was further compounded by the committee's assessment of commissioners' salaries for 2019-20, and having noted that on average, and crude calculations of the salaries, part-time commissioners worked between 11.7 to 44.1 hours, which is the maximum. For the minimum amount of hours, one commissioner worked was 11.7 versus 40 another part-time commissioner. As such, this brought into question how plenary and senior management had justified the 100-hour flat rate. The committee was also not satisfied with the Serious Earl's response insofar as variation in salaries between commissioners because of benefits such as travel given during the COVID-19 lockdown period. Travel was limited and commissioners indicated that they worked from home as well. Moreover, the committee, having assessed all the progress reports of commissioners for the year under review, was unable to see how the continuation of a 100-hour flat rate was justifiable, and certain commissioners were not reporting against all strategic outcomes within a given quarter. The current status of the 100 hours, the committee questioned whether part-time commissioners were still paid the 100 hour flat rate and what the justification was given the issues of concern raised. The committee noted that no money had been recovered or written off to date, according to the CGE as reported to the ARC. Furthermore, the committee is aware that four part-time commissioners have taken up the matter on appeal based on the 2020-21 amount and maintain the submission of quarterly reports together with a letter of endorsement from the chairperson of the CGE and an internal circular that suffices as evidence. This ends the committee question whether the ARC was in receipt of such evidence. The committee was not satisfied with the response of the CGE noted with serious concern the lack of leadership and accountability demonstrated, as well as not providing proof of evidence for the respective auditors in this regard. And that covers a person's concern that whoever was supposed to But, you know, since it's concerned, the CTE is very concerned with the Commissioner's handbook because of the claims under 5.3.2, which states this matter is regulated by CTE policy and subsistence and claims. In addition, part-time commissioners are required to file a salary claim every month using the template provided by the CTE. Full-time commissioners do not submit salary claims as the salaries are automatically generated to the CTE salary system. The committee noted that the non-submission of time sheets was a direct confirmation of the CTE's policy despite submission of quarterly reports in narrative form. The application of periods to serve a nation. The committee, having assessed the salaries of commissioners as outlined in the annual report under review, was clear that the President's determination of salaries as per the top note was, the committee was unclear as to how the determination was applied and the recommendations of the CGE. So in terms of finance, we request for an audit action plan. We continue for request for reports. They should maintain a tight control over the fiscus. They should continue reporting on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The finance report must be in relation to a strategic outcome. In terms of surplus funds, they should report back about the request to National Treasury. Payment of part-time commissioners. The CGE should present to the committee a report on the outcome of the dispute registered by the part-time commissioners in lieu of the finding of fruitless and wasteful expenditure related to the 100-hour tax payment. The CGE should also submit a report to the committee on the decision by plenary to pay part-time commissioners 100 hours during the peak COVID-19 period. Payment to former commissioners. The CGE's HR should submit a written report and will instruct the CEO to pay former commissioners who are no longer in the employ of the institution within 3 weeks of adoption of this report. Payment of leave gratuity for former CEO. The CGE's HR should submit a comprehensive report on the leave payout related to the former CEO, which was wrongly calculated to the committee, within 3 weeks of the adoption of this report. Implementation of determination of salaries. The CFO should revise the salaries of part-time commissioners to be in accordance with the President's determination of salaries and deal with issues raised by the AG in this regard. In terms of governance, the CGE should finalize its policy that pertains to interrelations between the administration and commissioners, and this should be submitted to the committee before 2022-23. The handbook, the same applies. It should be finalized and submitted before the end of this financial year, 2022-23. The business model should be submitted to the committee as well. Consequence management. CGE should hold to account commissioners and employees with the best policy and laws and ensure appropriate consequence management is implemented. The 17% provident fund. CGE should submit to the committee in writing a comprehensive report on the 17% provident fund issues. The CGE is urged to finalise the matter. The Legal Practice Council. CGE should present to the committee on how to deal with the matter of the Legal Practice Council in ensuring the CGE is recognised as a legal entity again. The CGE was urged to expedite the matter in order for it to be resolved. And then with respect to program performance, it should prioritize the filling of vacancies. It should submit a report to the committee that outlines the structure of the positions linked to salaries. This end, the CGE should also provide the committee with the information that illustrates whether the current positions are market related and what are the proposed salaries for positions advertised and how these compete to the market. And I think this was one of the chairperson's recommendations. CGE should improve on its complaint handling process. It should submit to the committee in writing a comprehensive report on the 17% providence issue, the AG finding regarding 100 hours worked by part-time commissioners without timesheet, and the compiling of an annual report on the boy child program. CBV, the CGE to report back to the committee and provide a COVID report regarding its monitoring of NSP, and submit a comprehensive report in this regard. Commissioners to continue to report on a quarterly and annual basis to the committee on the deliverables within each strategic objective, strategic outcome as per the AGP. I will just take you now to the specific recommendations to the AG. The AG is requested to investigate the payment of part-time commissioners without timesheets submitted as evidence having taken into consideration the findings of the ARC, the Internal Audit Unit, and the Portfolio Committee. AG is requested to investigate the discrepancy in salary between full-time and part-time commissioners and the application of presidential determination for the period 2019-20 to 2021-22. The chairperson and members, just to indicate what the key issues were around the payment of part-time commissioners. In essence, we've actually asked the AG for a comprehensive investigation that looks at everything that we have raised in our observations pertaining to payments discrepancy in salary the like based on the information that was submitted to us and what the little need to look into further. Personnel members, so can I just take you maybe back to the observations, see if there's anything in addition we should add or amend. Thank you. Can we get feedback around the performance of commissioners, whether this captures based on the discussion, not just this morning, to all the meetings that we had so far, and is the recommendation captured appropriately? Thank you. You're breaking up really badly. We can't hear you at all.
What were you saying?
Chairperson, I've done covering the observations related to the matter of the commissioners as well as the recommendation for the CPE. So we'd just like to get feedback around, firstly, the observations around the performance of commissioners, whether it's based on members' input, and whether the recommendation is correct and appropriate. So maybe just to start off with feedback, Chairperson, around observations about the CGE matters. Thank you, Chair.
Better, but there must be an investigation into that. So obviously somebody was not following procedures. They were not following processes. And we need to mention this as a recommendation, because we have to take a hard stand on this.
Yeah.
People can't just be getting paid so much money for doing so little work.
Yeah. Agreed. I agree with you, Honorable Sheriff.
To respond, what Herman has suggested to me around that is, technically, sorry, for members of the team, we first need the report from the CGE to say, formally in writing, that they have extended the 100 hours. Because we can't recommend that it should be stopped until we know that it is happening. So the first request is for a report around that 100 hours had it from that's the only thing we can do at this stage. Because technically, we can't recommend that it should be stopped until we know that it has. And so it goes back down to what are they submitting to us, like our observations show. The formal correspondence would only going to be between April and October. Until we saw this annual report, we can't recommend technically now that it has continued, because we don't know. So what I could do is, it can be twofold. We can have a recommendation under the AG to assess whether under what conditions, or to assess whether the 100-hour payment had continued and why. That can be the AG. And then for the CGE, all we can do is just quit. Information on if it has been done. So the recommendation for the AG, I'll indicate.
Honorable Mastiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think one must appreciate the observations or findings as well, as captured by the team. One is comfortable, Chairperson, as they appear. Yeah. But also, Chairperson, to say that I don't know where we can just capture it as a committee generally, that we are really concerned with the performance of the actual organization, CGE, as a whole, and the decline in confidence in terms of the leadership of the structure itself. I know Kashifa, where we can correctly capture that, not only in terms of the observations of the auditors and they are expression on the leader of the city, but also as a community itself. Thank you. chairperson, I'm not sure, but I'm not able to hear anything. As Ms. Mafeko provided any additional information? Thank you. Person, Ms. Mafeko, just in terms of your comment, I've included B. If you can indicate whether this is fine, and then I'll move to the recommendation by Ms. Sharif and show what I've indicated included. Thank you. Ms. Mafeko, if you could just indicate to us, thank you.
Thank you. I see that the chairperson has lost connection. I'm happy with the B when it is. Committee remains concerned with the overall performance of CGE, given the challenges that continue to impact on its ability to give effect to its mandate. I think it's perfectly captured. You can then move to the next one that Honorable Sharif has contributed.
Yeah. So just to move straight there, Ms. Sharif, around what you had proposed. So the AG to assess whether the payment of 100 hours flat rate to part-time commissioners had continued for the current financial year 2022-23 and why. So that's what we're asking of the AG, and then for the CGE around the same matter. Payment of part-time commissioners, I've included the recommendation there. The CGE should submit a report on the application of the 100-hour flat rate in relation to the current financial year 2022-23, together with all relevant supporting documentation. Ms. Sharif, chairperson, Ms. Masika, if you can just indicate whether the recommendation is adequate or what should be changed. Thank you.
Honorable Sharif, are you happy with the recommendation as it appears?
Thank you. Yes, Kashifa, I am. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Kashifa. Then let's move to the recommendation. Is it the recommendation, Kashifa, I think it's the recommendation.
Ms. Masika, so I presented all the recommendations in relation to this matter. So far, there were just two comments. One observation was from you, and the other recommendation was from just in terms of members' input, Ms. Shongo, Ms. Masoda, Ms. Shingwa said they covered. I'm not sure whether the other members will want to make some specific observations that we should include recommendations for this section.
I'll check with chairperson and members, whoever else hasn't responded, what we should change or add.
Thank you, Kashifa. I see that the chairperson has rejoined the meeting. Chairperson, I'm going to hand over back to you because we're not seeing any other members, Kashifa, that wish to make any further changes on this one aspect that I've just presented. I'll hand over back to the chairperson.
Chairperson colleagues is experiencing serious connectivity issues. Kashifa, let us then proceed with the observations as well as recommendations for in respect of the department as well as the NYTA.
Okay. Ms. Patiko, if you could just indulge me, as a finish of CGE, to still have in mind
when the CPE was really going through a bad time, back then, the committee actually asked for monthly reports of the CPE, if there's any changes to the board. Even that is four committees that would have their contacts come to an end in just over 10 days, and that there's going to be that gap in which all these things will come in. I don't know whether that's an option members want to consider, that we also put in as a recommendation, a request for monthly reports on key matters need to be addressed, so that the committee is aware from month to month what is it that they're actually doing, because by the time we get the quarter reports, in some instances it would feel a little late. But that's just something I thought I'd let the committee think about. Just that's if we can, something that we'd like to consider, include a request for monthly reports from the CGE on key matters they need to address.
I would support this one, Kashifa, but I'm not sure whether honourable members supported. There's Honourable Sharif saying it's supported. I'm not seeing any hands. Okay, supported. All right, let us include it, Kashifa.
Thank you, Ms. Batiko. So the CGE to submit monthly reports to the Committee on Key Matters of Concern and Service Year 2. So I'll just move on now to, I don't know, Chairperson's suggestion was, Ms. Batiko, that we should ask some members if they've got any input in relation to the observations. I don't know whether I should specifically go through all the observations of the department, or just as I go through section by section, whether, as opposed to reading through everything, whether members have any input. But I'll hear from you, Ms. Masiko. I'll starting with the department.
Okay, I think that is progressive, Kashifa. Honourable members, the proposal that Chairperson had presented in the beginning of the meeting is that the report was sent to all the members last night, and we will take the report as read by members. We will then request that we go through the committee observations through the different sections, and if members wish to make any reflections or additions on each of the presented subtopic, you will then indicate so through the showing of hands or indicating through the platform itself. You can take us through, Kashifa, as we are starting with 15.1, which is the general observations by the committee. You can proceed.
Thank you, Ms. Matiko. So 15.1 is to provide the general observations in terms of the performance of the department, in terms of what the targets were that were achieved, the budget spent by the department, which was 84.7 with respect to the operating budget, which was 203 million. The total appropriation was eventually 1.1 billion. Transfers was which included the transfers to entities of 97 in terms of that which was spent was 97%.
performance of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities program remained an area of concern. Again, most of the problems in program one relates to admin, important continuous reliance on external service providers. The department committee concurred with the AG and ARC's recommendation, findings and recommendations. The concern about the minister's attendance to meetings.
Can you go back to the one on the attendance of the minister's meeting? Yes, the committee was concerned that the minister did not attend 10 of the committee's meetings. Do you know, do we have a number that is 10 out of how many?
No, this was directly captured based on observation. I think it was Mr. Noble or Mr. Mpiti who raised it. So maybe I can request from the honourable member just to clarify, because that was the number that was stated in the meeting.
Okay. I think, Kashifa, because we are putting it in this report, honourable members, you will guide us. Is it something that is correctly recorded that it is 10 meetings, or it's just an expression that probably Honourable Mpiti was had captured on his own record that it is 10? Is it then correct for us to put it as something that the committee feels that it is 10 meetings? Is it a number that has been verified according to the records that we have of the parliamentary attendance to meetings by all the honourable members, including the minister herself? I just want to check if that is a correct approach.
Thank you, the statement was not correct because we have not agreed to count the number of of the minister or whoever. We didn't agree about that. And even in our policy, when we did our policy as a committee, we did not indicate that someone will be counted so many. Therefore, that statement to me is not representing us fully. Thank you.
Yabonga, my honourable Piri.
Thanks, Chair. No, I'm covered by the honourable Piri. I wanted us not to put the number, but just to raise the concern that there was a number of meetings that the minister did not attend, but put the number. I concur with myself and honourable Sangwa. Let's do that manner. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable. Yes, honourable speaking.
Thank you, honourable Masiko. Just to come in on this particular point, one would say that, you know, I've been raising this point on several occasions, and so I do not feel comfortable with simply saying several. I think we need to then get back to the number. But it was my count, and when I mentioned that I said more than 10. So I would then request that we get the accurate number and it does be put on this report, because it's been raised quite a number of times. This is my third time raising it. So I do think that the actual number needs to be put in. And I think that information can be gathered from who has that in this report and can basically capture for us the correct just needs to be put.
Yes, I agree with the honourable member, but what is the use of the apology?
Yeah.
What is the use of the apology? Because in some times you had the deputy said minister putting forward the apology of the minister. What is the use of that apology? Because if we say that no one could finish the apology because the apology was not counted. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ma. And Honorable Mpeti, is that a legacy hand or is it a new hand?
Thanks, Honorable Masiko. So I just want to come in on that point because the meeting that we had with the department, you know, the point that's made by Honorable Senga was not made. And in fact, there was no dispute on the point that I raised about the minister's attendance. No one actually said in this portfolio committee that there was a dispute around the apologies. I think the concern was quite clearly made that the minister can miss 3 or 4 meetings, but then when you start counting the number and you realize that it's much more than a reasonable amount. And I feel like now we are discarding those points when, you know, we didn't make them at the appropriate time. So the point that I raised can simply be found out through the minutes. I don't see what is difficult to find out from the minutes in total how many meetings were missed. It's not about an apology. It's about the number of reasonable amount of meetings that have been missed. And so my point is on reasonableness and not necessarily on apologies.
I think the point that we are having here, Honorable Mithi, is that we can't just put a number one that has not been verified in terms of the records that we are having. But two, if we then want to venture, because I think that in essence, we as a committee, we agree with the fact that the minister is missing the meeting, of which she has indicated that one, the minister does not have, in terms of the response that she gave in that meeting when she was asked the question, or when the committee expressed through you, Honorable Mpeti, the concern of the minister not attending meeting. She noted the fact that she does not have a deputy minister in the department. Two, there's a long-standing matter that the department has raised with us concerning the clashing of the portfolio committee meetings with the cabinet meeting. And there was also previously a request that we move the meeting of the portfolio committee to a Wednesday if there is an issue with the majority of apologies of the minister coming with the reasons that he is attending cabinet meetings. Now, there is, I think, general consensus on the concern that you are sharing, but when we start to venture into numbers, Honorable Mpeti, because we do understand that some of the apologies that the minister makes, we do not accept them due to the fact that we expect for her to prioritize meetings of the portfolio committee. But other apologies for me are due to the fact that the minister is attending to her cabinet responsibilities in terms of attending to cabinet meetings. Those are the apologies that as a committee we also feel that she cannot escape from, and we accept them. Now, when a person apologizes to a meeting, the meeting has a prerogative to accept that apology or decline that apology. Now, I think we need to venture into an exercise that then says that which of the apologies that the minister has given, when we want to venture into the numbers, to stating the exact numbers, which of the meetings has the minister not attended and apologized for, those apologies we accept, and the apologies that we don't accept because we feel that she has not prioritized her responsibilities to the portfolio committee. So if we want to venture into numbers, colleagues, I'm not comfortable with that, but I am comfortable, and I think other members are comfortable with the approach that says we are generally concerned with the manner in which the minister is attending to her responsibilities to the portfolio committees in terms of reporting. I don't know what the feeling of the other members is, but for me, if we want to venture into numbers, then we need to segregate of which apologies do we accept and which apologies we don't accept that the minister has presented to us. But the general feeling is that we are concerned as a committee, but we need to really tread carefully in terms of now the actual number if we want to get into that aspect of naming the meetings that the minister has not attended, so that we agree with the apology and we disagree with her apology that she has submitted to the minister. Kashifa?
Is the member on the platform?
Masako, can I proceed?
Yes, Honorable Thierry.
No, I want us to wrap it in a way that we have wrapped it. Let us, I think all of us, we are agreeing with the general concern, and only Honorable Pity wants to deal with numbers, but I think for us to be fair and, you know, in a principled manner, it's how you wrap it up today. Members, they say, we know she does not have a deputy minister, and they are meeting like your cabinet that she can escape. But let us allow and accept and the recommendation or the observations that we are making as a committee saying we have a concern. Then it will also be appealing and making a request to the person who is responsible to also assist us and assist the current minister to have a deputy. But I want us to allow Ukashifa to record it and also to give the report the way you have wrapped it up. I think all members, but to plead with Honorable Pitti on the issue of numbers and agreeing with him that we are agreeing with the fact that we have a concern of the minister not being present to the meeting. But I want us to, actually, mine was to second you so that we move. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Piri. Okay, we can proceed there, Kashifa.
So, can I just get clarity?
I think we are agreeing that. Sorry?
Yeah. So as opposed to several, I've put in many, and I'm also indicating.
But if you are saying many, that's why I'm saying that it's how many out of how many, and how then to assess your many.
Ms. Basika, so the committee was concerned that the minister had not attended the committee meetings and that several issues raised by the committee at the time required the attention of the minister, example, the underspending of the department, notwithstanding the minister's responsibilities for attendance as cabinet meeting as an example, and the apology. However, the committee saw clarity and asked the minister to cite reasons for not attending committee meetings. Is that adequately clarified? I just need to make sure before we continue, Ms. Masito. So the first sentence was changed around the general consensus that the committee was concerned that the minister had not attended committee meetings. Because several issues were raised, we acknowledge that she had other responsibilities like attending the cabinet meeting and submitted a policy. apologies, but the committee sought full clarity and asked the minister to cite reasons for not attending committee meetings. Is that adequate? What else should be changed just before I move on? Thank you.
It seems as though it's adequate, Kashifa. Honourable members, is anybody opposed to the observation as it has been captured?
I support, Chair. I support as it captured.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable members.
Chairperson, I also support as it captured.
Okay, thank you, Ma. Let us proceed, then, Kashifa. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Masiko. Again, this particular key observations around mandate, mission, and vision. With what was noted here was in relation to the mandate, how this was given effect to, how can that be supported in terms of policy imperatives, how the department assessed how government has performed, what it would indicate as an outcome of the assessment in relation to these priorities, based on the work of the year under review, how they gave effect to their mission and vision, and what the evidence was to support that. In terms of key achievements, the committee questioned what are the department's key achievements, demonstrated again the fulfillment of their mission and vision, and then the lack and the concern around the visibility of the department. In terms of policy and law reform, again, how these policies are accessible and available to the public, what the status is of the wage bill as well as the disability rights bill. Program one, just a general note around the performance of that program. And again, we know, like Crystal have noted to members, Program one has got the largest, in terms of the operational budget, the most staff. In terms of HR, we've seen this before in terms of employees. The key issue here is they claim they don't have the requisite resources, but when you look at senior management and highly skilled, it comes to a total of 158 people that should have the required skills to be able to do the workforce. But it's also more than half of the department, or just under half of the department's entire workforce. So given that number, why can't they achieve all their targets, and why do they have to rely on outsourcing? For SMS, that's senior management. Senior management is being paid just over 56 million, which is about 50% of the personnel cost. And then the highly skilled, it's about 50%. Gender parity, yes, predominantly female, like this will noted. But when we unpack that number, the majority of the women are actually in clerical positions, as compared to, even though the numbers for males are low, most of the males fall within this category, legislators, senior officials, and managers. In terms of use of consultants, for the year under review, 39 consultants were used for 9 projects, comes to 1.848, which is up from the previous financial year, where they only had 33 consultants for 8 projects. So just looking at what they're spending the money on, they're using in terms of consultant facilitation fees for research projects and for monitoring and evaluation. And again, just on those three, by outsourcing this, but if members would recall what I just indicated to you about how many highly skilled professionals they have in senior management, not clear why this were outsourcing. In terms of the vacancy, we commend them as they kept it under 10%. The DC cases, there was only 2. I mean, the key thing to note around the finance is that 51 million under expenditure. So the key thing to matter here is this seems to be carried on. We saw that in the Q1 performance as well. And the majority of that 31 million is actually in relation to the core programs, which Crystal noted to you in her paper. In terms of rollover funds, looking at over 11 million, or mainly ICT, but also because the council hasn't been established, and then there was one other matter around requesting funds for the disability rights instrument to be developed around the framework. And again, just to show members here, requesting a rollover fund, but this is again to outsource the work. In terms of irregular expenditure, it's that 41 million, but that was from the previous financial year. With respect to fruitless and wasteful, again, the 1.3 million was also from the previous financial year. The same with the unauthorized expenditure, which amounts to 52 million, also historical. In terms of violence, it was 2.185 million. We indicate it was in program one, and then the cost of employment from program three to program two, three, and four. In terms of deviations, the annual report resource made note to members that there was no deviations in annual report. However, in Q4, there were 16 which the department reported on, and we indicated it was related to, no, from 16, it actually went up to 20, which was amounting to just over 1.9 million. For donor funding, it was at 23 million they received, of which they spent 621,000, but the EU had given a total of allocated over 109 for the 21-22 to 2023-24 period. And again, I think the key issue around this donor money is it was for personnel, but it's unclear how this was not a duplication of services, where they were going to spend the money on technical personnel, so for data capturers, and I think one other official, level of official. In terms of investigations and consequence management, the committee concurs with the AG findings. The findings regarding consequence management could not be substantiated due to insufficient evidence that action was taken against officials that incurred irregular expenditure. This was attributed to a lack of proper and complete records and were not maintained by the department in order to conduct its investigation. However, this was in contrast to the finding by the ARC to be elaborated on in the section thereafter. Again, the issue around the consequence management is why hasn't it happened, particularly in relation to that under expenditure? We captured the concern around the DG saying that she was reluctant to implement. And the committee reiterated to the DG the importance of her role. And I think one thing that was not clarified, and I think Mr. Mpeep had requested this, was the DG indicated that people were complaining to the portfolio committee. And the request was that if that was the case, it should be made clear who the people were, why they were reported, so that you know, the committee makes it clear that we're not interfering, we're allowing the department to do what it's meant to do. And if that was not the case, that the DG should request. But as I recall, I don't think the DG provided an explanation in that regard. And again, we just carry on indicating the importance of the DG holding officials to account. Implementing the appropriate action. Supply chain management, there was no unsolicited bids. ICT was that one plan that has still not been met. It's been unmet since 2020-21. Again, just the ARC saying that the ICT environment was high risk. which would hinder that the achievement of its objectives. Moving on to the AG and ARC, the committee concurred with the findings, the repeat findings. We noted that with concern, and this despite the committee having to recommend and monitor and evaluate performance. Again, in terms of compliance, the repeat findings around the internal control deficiencies, the concern around lack of consequence management, and then the committee noted particularly around the manner in which the AG was conducting its audit, and that the focus was on program two, but actually the suggestion was that it should broaden its focus to also look at program 415 in order to provide much more of a holistic assessment. Given that an assessment by the AG of just one program doesn't enable the committee to do dispute oversight, because the auditors have access to more information to do an holistic assessment. Again, with regards to the ARC, across all three, the departments, CGE and NYDA, the committee inquired about the relationship with ARC, and that at times the ARC's findings and find expression in terms of the AG's audit, and that, you know, that was an area of concern. Again, with the outcome of the performance audit, the question was there value for money in terms of when the AG had audit? The committee, you also questioned whether there was proof of the department's regulatory role, and then also around the sanitary technical program, based on our oversight, what we found and what the AG had actually done in relation to the audit, as they did program two, what did they find around sanitary integrity? We found in our oversight that it's not happening, the delivery of sanitary dignity. We noticed there was a concern of the report of the CGE, which the AG picked up that target which was not met was actually defective, that met, that was corrected. Again, generally about how often the AG monitors and evaluates, and how that's being done, not just at the annual report time, but throughout the year. With regards to the DBVF and the council, the request was to actually look into that $15 million and how it was being spent. And again, they looked at program two as the audit, and what did they find in terms of how this money was spent? And the fact that come 31 March 2023, the secretary's term of office, the contract would come to an end. The procurement of equipment by the CGE, the AG actually doesn't have adequate information in that regard. So we noted that as a concern, because again, the emphasis was placed on the CGE having to procure equipment that is needed, and how does the AG assess that? The donor funding. Again, the concern was there was a lack of information on how the AG was assessing what donor funding was coming in across the entities and how it was being used. And just generally around the whistleblower allegations of the NYDA CEO, the concern was it wasn't coming through in its audit report, and what was being, and if it did, what was done in that regard by the AG, particularly in terms of its scope of what did it actually assess. In terms of the Audit and Risk Committee, the committee acknowledges the findings and recommendations. The department is related to the effectiveness of internal controls, monitoring compliance, and matters related to IT. In terms of the ARC's finding regarding the progress made in the investigation of irregular expenditure, based on 2021 to 2016-17, it was appropriate action. However, this finding from the ARC was different to that expressed by the AG, which brings into question again. The ARC engaged the AG on the matter. Finally, the underspending, the committee noted as a matter of concern, because if that picked up in Q1 already and Q2, why was it only a matter? Why was it only seen as a crisis by Q3? And I think Ms. Matika was saying, by Q4, it's almost too late to then want to try and intervene. And if there's a red flag raised, what's being done about it? It was a matter about unbudgeted means and clarity needed in relation to that. The general commentary around the fruitless unauthorized wasteful expenditure, I think that should be irregular. Moving down to consequence management, again, the committee question, how is the ARC assessing whether this actually is being done and what's been the outcome? Because it affects concerns around weak leadership and management to be able to take corrective action. Again, the committee noted that it confirmed that the ARC is not getting all the records and reports and information it needs. So again, it questions while then was consequence management implemented. I think the emphasis around not implementing recommendations and underspending. Again, what did the ARC do about it? And who wasn't implementing the recommendations the ARC has tested from Q1 already? For risk management, we concur with the findings. With the audit action plan, yes, the accounting officer should develop the audit action plan, but it questioned how effective this plan and the monitoring of the plan was, given that not all the findings were attended to. So, outstanding audit findings and risk mitigation actions, this again relates to the point above, around the outstanding findings, which was a concern, covered with ICT, and one was the internal audit. With this mitigation, generally they improved. There were areas of concern, and how that's being attended to. The core programs, generally, in terms of being commended for achieving the 5 targets, policy and law reform. We commend them. They finished the prevention strategy, tabled the NYD amendment bill, and then just recently, last week, the GBV bill on the GBV Council. But it has yet to introduce the wage bill for the African Youth Development Bill and the disability bill. Citrus reports, we acknowledge the reports. Not all of these reports are actually available on the website. So how is the public supposed to access these? And that even in the committee, we haven't received all of these. We need the department to submit that. Program 2 achieved all its targets. I think the emphasis here again is about how they spent that $15 million, the transitional arrangement, post-March 2023. If the council's not established and the secretariat contract comes to an end, again, for program 2, just that money is being set aside for consultants to do work in addition to donor funding. And like we highlighted around the HR, the department has 158 officials in senior management and highly skilled. Why are we so outsourcing? Around the EU, it's just around the use of the consultants, again, in terms of that new funding. Around Program 3, policy coordination and knowledge management, we are, yes, we know the framework is done, But is the NGM actually established wanting an evaluation? The committee just questioned how they do this, given that they have two separate functions. So there's a subdivision that deals with monitoring and they produce separate reports. And there's also a different division that deals with evaluation and they also produce reports. For program four, yes, it's the under expenditure, which has been persistent year on year. And then again, we request the reports from the program. For program five, achieved, it's commendable. I'll just move down now to the NYDA and then finish off on the recommendations of both the department and the NYDA. Apologies, member. So, overall, 18 audit, 100% of targets achieved. So, in many instances, there were targets that were exceeded. But in these instances, we just, as we said last year, it should be reassessed to see maybe the target is set a bit too low and should be set higher. For their ARC, we just, the committee noted that they met but want to know how often. And in their meetings, are they able to identify any areas of concern during the audit? The issue around the beneficiary and the trailer that was not delivered, that was one of the five matters that the AG brought to the attention of the committee as an area of concern. But overall, the committee commended NYDA on an improvement on compliance and what the improvements were with respect to the internal control. Their finance, they did not incur any irregular or wasteful expenditure for the year under review. We questioned the time frame for the filling in of vacancies with regards to dismissals and resignations. Again, yeah, we just asked what are the reasons for that and the importance of having to conduct exit interviews. For disability, we couldn't find anything in the annual report that says how many people with disabilities are employed or whether their EE target in this regard was met, and I think that's important. With regards to the communication strategy, if it was sent to the committee, given that the feeling on the ground is still not many youth know about the NYDA or the commitments made to address youth development. The CEO salary, I think the concern was that the amount that is being paid, yet work of the NYDA does not reach the young communities, or I should say the youth in the pension fund. Again, the question was more information about how to invest the pension fund, as well as a question for clarity around the payment to the former CFO. Just in terms of the performance of the board, the observations were in relation to impact and visibility. What are they doing? What can they say about their 100 days in office? Again, I think the concern overall was were they giving effect to the mandate and what are their visible achievements. The committee noted around the Russia trip, who attended, how this came about, the implications of going to Russia given the Ukraine war. Again, just in terms of the lack of response for the deputy chair and her traveling abroad, and that even with the response by the chairperson that it lacked the requisite details in terms of what the NYDA's response is to matters around youth employment, how it performed for 2021, and what the board was doing. The committee sensed some tensions. We asked about the working relationship, around attendance, again, around board meetings, how often are they held to account, and then overall the allegations levelled against the CEO and what the board was doing about it. Program two of the NYDA, we linked this to the issue of the kitchen trailer, and then questioned when money is dispersed, was checking to see if the service provider is actually delivering on that and was doing the monitoring and evaluation. But the assessment was based on one example by the AG that what the NYDA doing in that regard is not enough in terms of monitoring and evaluation. And again, with the key person response to check whether service providers have delivered equipment to beneficiaries or not. Around sanitary dignity, whether the NYDA was offering the support to the department during the financial year 2021-22. Because that could also give the committee an indication as to how the NYDA was collaborating. Generally, the comment around youth with disabilities, as you've asked before, how they actually benefited during the year 2021-22. For the effectiveness of training, particularly around the life skills and job preparedness, I think that Marekwa, you had raised this concern, but how are they determining whether their training actually works? And I think Ms. Funyani also noted, well, people actually get a job once they've gone through the training. And so I think it's just assessing, the concern was, are they assessing what they're doing? For the scholarship, how many people benefited, the committee was interested, and whether there was NYDA a disability champion. For workshops, Ms. Schlegelmeier, I think, noted the issue of the cost of the workshop. And then I think the key concern here was all the beneficiaries who attended at a provincial level. And then in terms of outcomes of training, I think I should just need to move that down. The committee questioned how many young people were employed of receiving training life skills and the job preparedness. In terms of support for young entrepreneurs, the concern was how are they being able, how is the NYDA supporting, and are they using virtual platforms for youth to be able to apply for grants like WhatsApp? In terms of those APPs, the committee questioned who submitted, who were the ones department, what was outstanding, in terms of the status of youth report, the committee thought, what are the key findings and recommendations about the report that needs to be submitted, for the disability, IYDS, that's the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, there was the intention to hold a summit, the committee asked when, for the NSC, the coming from cabinet was a to ensure this greater alignment. So what the cost role, how is this recommendation by cabinet given effect? And again, it hinges on how it collaborates with the departments in that regard. The loans written off, the key question was, how is youth supported and not to forfeit on the loan repayment, and how long does it take before a loan is written off? And for the 2,000 youth in terms of youth-owned business in the touch for dual economy, what sort of support is being offered to them? Some of the recommendations, general, maybe a request that the Committee of Race of Development, particularly in relation to the summit, on GBV, both provincial and national. Really? HR should conduct the senior management must ensure proper monitoring in terms of funding expenditure. For those who incur official station to help, the CG should implement consequence management. The communication unit should improve on its communication strategy.
And I'm just quoting all into one.
The initial public is aware of the audit action plan
You've seen it all, eh?
Recommendations and how to implement those recommendations. in your monitoring, if you continue spending things, if you continue submitting
Okay.
So spending again, it would be important if you provide detail of how this is being done, and in terms of
We know that. I mean, look, you guys are holding your breath in finals. We don't even know what finals are. You know, you guys are like holding your breath, and we're all like, okay.
For the AG, we're requesting that with regards to that whistleblower allegation,
We should be briefed on various goals besides ones that have been tabled. We should standardize outstanding policies, and it must be the committee must be briefed in that regard at every quarter. For the GBV, for the NSP, we require important updates on the implementation. We should submit an eventual strategy. We should brief the committee and the council bill. And then the secretariat should also brief the committee, which we have invited us in any. So I just sent correspondence in that regard via email. The sanitary dignity, again, just to ensure young women and persons with disabilities benefit. That is the department to put back on its policy in the monthly allocation for disability. Submit 40 and annual reports on the individual and disability community. And that report is produced, which is actually a book for the committee. More emphasis should be placed on this expediting of the goal for the national book policy. We wrap it up, national youth development. We should strengthen the collaboration with the NYEA and how it should be fit to that role. Then just around us, what actually is critical is to keep us at least on development and okay, and we also expect the department to be on the NYEA role. I'll just move straight on to the NYEA recommendation. The recommendations for NYDA are not many, but I will take members that particular section. Here we go. In terms of the ARC, we request some feedback around that beneficiary who had not received their equipment. For the audit action plan, it should be submitted. It should address the root cause of the problem today at the next quarterly briefing. It should report against progress on its audit action plan. And at the end, to reiterate, that when it reports, it should report its finances against its strategic outcomes. Because we've seen that many of the targets were exceeded, the target should just be reviewed and where necessary. It should be set higher. Information around what the
Might just ask you to move because I really don't know how to use that mark. It's ridiculous.
And that COSA, once the investigation on that matter is concluded, the request would be that the NYDA brief the committee on the outcome. It should continue its market linkages between the NYDA department. Basic education with respect to that is needing to ensure that young people actually benefit. The other request was to the board what the request is, they should indicate what each member has done with regards to their work in the NYDA at the next committee meeting. The inclusion of youth who are non-conforming within their program, and then just generally to be mindful of paying more money to the CEO at the expense of the organization not being able to implement the program. For National Treasury, to look at the condonation request, consider the request for rollover of funds for the department and the CTE. One more, as I said right from the start, there was one particular matter I wanted to raise with members around what the department has done. I'm just going to take you the quickly. So members, as I said earlier this morning, all members who have received this, this has been reported on as a policy change by the department this, this financial year 2021-22. And it looks basically says it's done an analysis of APPs for departments. But just to, again, we've seen something similar that was sent before. So this is what they say, how they assess the department. and what they've produced. Looking at what they've noted for Department of Basic Education. It's in narrative style. So, and the legislation and policies, and basically say, I think the department, in this case, the EVE, makes reference to any of the policies were relevant, and they just list them. Look at the situational analysis, and they just indicate of DVE in terms of its APP, was there any reference or analysis in terms of women, youth, and persons with disabilities, as well as disaggregated data. They note statistical information is included. In terms of measuring performance, there are specific outputs and sex indicators relating to women. Again, you can see they don't specify what it is, whether it's appropriate. So they say no reflection of disaggregation of data. Program outputs, there are few specific outputs on sector indicators targeting 50% of women. And again, that's just a statement, not the outcome of analysis. Program outputs, the department's APP did not provide audited performance and estimated performance by sex, age, and disability. In terms of risks and PID, specific risks pertaining to women, youth, and disabilities. That's it for the analysis for DVE. And in total, they have done 27. I'll show you what was the last one they captured was Sandy. And that's actually an agency with the Department of Environment. So, members, the reason I've shown members this is, firstly, part of the committee's assessment of how the department is performing is based on the report that they submit. And that is the quality and level of assessment of ACPs that the department has done within an entire financial year. I just want members to reflect on between Crystal, myself, and Tasneem. We technically have less than a week to go through an annual report of an APP. And we still look at an entity. And if members are aware, and as you know, in our briefing, we frequently do an assessment of what is contained in whether it's an APP and an annual report. And the level of analysis that we do is three people within a week is substantive. The department has a year with the entire team and produces what we've just shown. I think it's very important that the committee schedules time and receives reports, not only from the department, but from the NYDA as well, in order for us to interrogate what is it that they're producing and what's the quality, what's the outcome. Because on paper, they would say the target succeeds. But what's the outcome of that target? What's the, as a member would often say, are we getting value for money? But I thought that was important just to highlight to you. I will have some chairperson and members now, whether there's anything in addition we should be adding or amending. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kashifa, to yourself and the team. You can tell that a lot of work has been done, especially given the constraints that you, or the time limitations that you have noted. So one must greatly appreciate the amount of work that has been put in by yourself and the team. Honorable members, the chairperson is still experiencing network challenges, and she has indicated that in the case that she is not coming through, she has requested that we try and proceed with the meeting. So the report has been presented, honorable members. Kashifa has highlighted the observations from the committee and then also indicated the recommendations. I will take hands that will seek to make any additions or maybe comments as questions of clarity if there are any. I will then recognize your hand, honorable members, if you are having any comments to make. I can see the hand of Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Honorable Masiko. I just want to say two things. The first one is just to join your comments as well. Thank you so much to the team for putting this document together. It's quite thorough. And of course, you know, when I received it, it was 98 pages. It's now at 96, but you can definitely tell the incredible work that has gone into this report. So thank you very much to the entire team. The only point that I just wanted to add was under the recommendation for the NYDA on the point around international trips, and that we really do need a report from them on all the international trips that have been conducted by board members, so that we are able to, and in fact, I would even extend it to the department, but I didn't make that point to the department when they did present. So I would say that if we could add that point on international travel by board members, so that we do have an understanding of, what are these trips for, and, you know, what type of, assistance are they giving to young people in the country. But without that, with that said, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kitty. Are there any other hands, honorable members, whilst Kashifa is making the decision? Yes, honorable chair.
A Zanzibar trip, so I want to check with what Mpiti was saying now. If can that also be included in the report? But if it was, then it will fall off. But if it was for the NYDA, can that be included in that report?
Okay,
thank you.
It was just bringing up again. If you could repeat,
what the chair is reflecting on, she was calling me actually on the side, but she had not muted. She's indicating the issue of the Zanzibar chief of the chairperson of NYDA. Saying that if the trip was not an official trip, then it falls off. If the trip was official, that honorable Peter has raised. So can you
Thank you, Ms. Patiko. So what I've captured is the NYMDA to submit a report reflecting international trips undertaken by board members that outline the purpose, cost, number of board members attended, and outcomes. Mr. Mpiki, just to indicate to you that the department submits to us, whether it's quarterly basis or even within the end of the financial year, undertakes international trips, and the cost, because that's been one of our standing items. We do receive information from the department in that regard. But maybe I can just get some feedback to within Ms. Patiko and Mr. Mpiki, whether this is adequately captured in what you would like. The NYMDA to submit a report reflecting international trips undertaken by board members that outline the purpose, cost, number of board members attended, and outcomes. So I can just hear from members, Ms. Patiko and Ms. Mpiki members. Thank you.
Chairperson, yeah, ma.
I'm happy.
First of all, that's
the best news I've heard from you in a long time.
Comprehensive report and detailed one. And I
want
to report to the Honorable Pete.
No, the best news is that you're ready.
Comment. And if one can add on that, I'm a little bit puzzled. Because this committee is for NYPA, for the youth. But no one was talking about youth. They all go there, and no one who's the youth who are representing the youth there. That was my worry, but I accept what it is contained to this report. Thank you.
Thank you. Umamhlengwa, honorable members, is supporting the J that we have just included. But I think, Kashifa, it does cover the sentiments of both honorable Peter and the chairperson. I don't think we ought to single out a single chair because there are those that are known to us and others that are not known. So if we are grouping them together, it does make sense that we would need a report reflecting all the international trips that have been undertaken by the board members, obviously outlining the purpose, the trip, as well as the number of board members that attended those outcomes, and as well as the outcomes. I think the issue of the outcomes is quite important. Because you need to check against the intended outcomes on whether or not the money has been spent for a correct purpose in terms of whether they meet the intended outcomes of the trip. Are you happy, Honorable Prince, the manner in which the sentence is structured?
Mansiko?
I'm a little bit frustrated with the network, but I
don't know, I think the other problem is my gadget. I saw a trip in Zanzibar. And I saw something NYC being posted in Zanzibar. So what I was saying, in support, in addition to what Honorable was saying, I wanted to say, let them report on all the trips they had going overseas.
Yes,
including that one of Zanzibar, because I saw they posted something at the NYDA.
Imagine that they never reported about that trip in the meeting.
Remember when we with them, they spoke, we asked
about
the Russia.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone should
trip.
Know that you would be kept on, though.
And
let's not be
one was
I mean, really.
So
let's not
they gave us half cooked
really,
information.
That one is not even.
So
I think you must just be better than someone's there. But
when you write that sentence,
you know what I mean? Like people talk about being laid off, but it was an obvious one, and people knew that. You know,
this is what I always say to people, guys.
Americans blame everybody, they blame themselves, and sometimes this is what I think is so special about Africans, you know, in fact we start here, we're like, what is the problem, guys, what's wrong with me, why me, and that's why we wallow a lot, we are so critical, yes. Exactly. How people come to abuse us.
Yes,
Americans just don't. They've got no sense of internal nothing.
Okay.
But what I want to check, Chair, is that it does Jay not cover everything in terms of the international trip?
Okay, let me read it. The NYTA to submit a report. The fact
I'm happy it always makes sense, but the number of board members attended, and why resources can actually be channeled to Africa, and international companies have got supporting international companies in Africa, you can continue the cheap labor, and Dr. Sori is not going to be an exception. You know,
you guys are speaking, we are down on our side, and I mean, so far they don't do, especially an organization like you, to be quite honest, I mean, it was a picnic for some people, so it was a paid picnic.
You can't say, you can't say, Andrew, speaking for 12 hours, you are okay with it. Please, that's your team member. Mate, what are you busy with? Bring it to me.
Okay, fine. If you're done with all of them, because my laptop was keep cutting. That's why I even called Honorable Masiko just to hear what am I struggling about. But it continuously cuts. So I can follow everything. Okay, it's fine. If you are done, Masiko, you can continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Members, I'm not seeing any heads that wish to make any further comments on the report or any additions or questions of clarity that you wish to make. There's only the addition of the sentence around J that I think we all agree on. Are there any other members that wish to make any more or any further contributions?
No.
Okay. There being none, Honorable Members, I will then request for hands that then wish to move for the adoption of the report as a report that is reflective of the committee's observations as well as recommendations and the committee's discussions of the process as a whole. I will then request Honorable Members to raise their hands that wish to adopt the report. I see the hand of the Honorable.
I can't believe how people.
And then followed by Umamhleba. Honorable Kiri.
Thanks, Chairperson. I wish to move for the adoption of the report as we deliberated in the amendment.
My goodness.
As a true reflection of what we've observed.
My goodness.
And we accept it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kiri. Ma'am Shengwa.
Thank you, Chair.
No.
I am seconding the adoption of the report.
And you mean Zoom dollars or dollars the real thing or what? Because you need to clarify, sister. Honorable Members, Zoom dollars, that one is impossible. The mind can't even begin to fathom that.
Please note the reservation of the gift.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pity. Honorable members, we note the reservations of the Democratic Alliance to the report.
And please, I hope that the registration of Pity in Ghana is underway.
The issues that you're having with regards to the Islamic reservation, Honorable Pity, or we should just note?
Yes,
please just note the report as we do have to.
No, you do, please, we thank God.
All right. Thank you very much, honorable members. The report has been duly adopted. And thank you, Kashifa, and your entire team for the work, amount of work that you have put towards the final.
Amazing. That is amazing.
The report that you have just presented today, and congratulations on the job well done. Nelisa, what is the next agenda item? If we can move to the next agenda item, it's the adoption of the minutes of the meeting.
I'm so convinced. And I am so convinced because Americans will see the movement of I'm telling you, when we do different tours, there will be tons of people going to the U.S. from South Africa. We'll take people that side too. You know what I mean? Because some people have never dreamed of that. But if you say, here is something to look forward to. There was someone that actually asked me, one of the pastors that said, the Africa team is going to be at Dubai in 20 whatever. You know, guys, if you could just if you give us maybe a year payment plan and something, I said, that's the idea. It's to help you guys dream a new dream. It's to open up your eyes to say, I would have never traveled if it was not for D3. That is exactly the idea.
That's what I wanted to announce to this meeting, so that at least an honorable members, if they would want to make a declaration, they can prepare themselves.
For the notes that you have given to us. Nelisa, can you flag the minutes, please?
These are the minutes of the 6th of September. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes.
Honorable members, before us are the minutes for the Portfolio Committee meeting of the Tuesday, the 6th of September, 2022. The meeting was considering and adopting the report. On the determination of salaries for the Commission for Gender Equality, as well as the draft report on the petition calling for Assembly to establish the National Council on Gender
and it becomes a global thing. You can have South African. I mean, if you're whoever from the government or representative from various GPOs, there can even be a delegation, a whole delegation with a payment plan. That's what I'm talking about. This thing of us
from the 18th to the 23rd of April. The last report that the meeting dealt with was the draft report on the oversight visit to the Eastern Cape province between the 3rd and the 6th of July. The minutes, honorable members, had been circulated to all the members. We will take them as read. I will then request for any member that wishes to make any additions to the minutes as they are presented and circulated to us.
Chairperson, honorable Masondo here.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes, I was absent in a meeting and I put apology to Neliswa, but I don't see my apology in the paper. It's only Sherry that was forwarded the apology. I don't know whether maybe...
Yes, I've got you.
It's an omission or what?
Okay, can we make that correction, Neliswa?
Yeah, I don't.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
siyabonga kakhulu mama Masondo and thanks Nelisa for making this correction.
So we've almost
honorable members,
I'm
not seeing any other hands that wish to make my corrections to the minutes of the meeting.
From.
I'll then request for a hand that will move for the adoption of the minutes.
Please,
with the correction that has been made. Honorable Lumpiti.
Honorable Masiko, I move for the adoption of.
Exactly, and you. Exactly.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lumpiti. Honorable members, Honorable Lumpiti has moved for the adoption of the minutes. Can I have a hand that seeks to second the move?
You see, that's exactly what we want. Exactly. We want an immersion.
Yeah, Mama.
We almost want an immersion.
I second the
historical. Exactly, nomads.
Thank you very much,
my
honorable
members.
The minister
because I'm not missing that one, by the way. That one, I'm not missing that. Next year, I'm not even playing. Like, it's no joke. Next year.
Is the next set of minutes, Nelisa?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, please can you flash
it now? It's the minutes of the 15th of September, Chairperson.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Nelisa. Honorable members, before us are the minutes for the meeting of Tuesday, the 30th of September, 2022, on the Zoom platform. The purpose of the meeting was we received a briefing by the Audit and Risk Committee on Quarter 1 report of the Commission for Gender Equality for the 2022-2023 financial year, as well as the briefing by the Commission of Gender Equality for the first quarter report for the 2022-2023 financial year, as well as outstanding matters on the report for commissioners on attendance of the plenary meetings, as well as sub-committee and other relevant committees,
you know, for someone to say,
or
task
teams with commissioners that deploy
conferences or whatever, where they're going
to
go
from
and
2029
which country they want to sponsor.
September 2022.
You know, so, for example, you can get South African
the meeting also considered and adopted
that
at the minute
would be attractive to funding a conference in Ghana and South Africa, for example.
Minutes were circulated for this meeting,
honorable
members.
We
will take them as read by all the members and then identify on the 10th that we should make corrections to the minutes.
You know, depending on who wants what traction and where, and I think that will work powerfully because then that's
okay. Honorable
also
members,
our
I'm not
global
presence.
We are a global organization.
Any corrections to the minute?
You know.
Can
so
I
think there's strength in that, and because there's
an
Africa branch now, like a proper formulated. We'll have. I mean, our own stationery and all sorts of things, which I'm very excited about because that's
honorable
Masondo brand. You know,
thank you, Honorable
Chair.
I move the adoption of the minister to
reflection
what
merit
by
and Mali had actually said that we must
thank you, Honorable
Masondo.
Honorable members, Honorable
Masondo
has moved.
We haven't spoken yet.
I will recognize the hand that
the
colleague, Honorable Kiri.
We said we must start thinking differently because now we've got an Africa office. You know, and South Africa is a satellite, one of the satellite offices of the main African
headquarters.
Thank you, Honorable Piri. Honorable members, Honorable Piri has seconded the move for the adoption of the minutes. The minutes have been duly adopted. Thank you very much, Honorable members. Do we have another set?
Yes, last two sets. It's the minutes of the 11th of October. I'll share them now. The minutes of the 11th of October.
Thank you very much, Nelly. So, honorable members, before us are the minutes of the portfolio committee meeting for the 11th of October 2022.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
The purpose was the briefing of by the Auditor General.
I'm excited about that.
On the
audit really
outcomes of the
that.
Department
I must say, I've even gotten
I've got a youngster, well one of my 7 years, who does the audit and risk. I'm like, get in. I want footage for Dane. I want Africa, because Dane is representative of Ghana, we're in South Africa. You know, that whole marketing thing, I want them to you know, together with the footage you have in Ghana and stuff. Because I said to them, look, guys, you know, you guys, and I learned from you, you hire young people because they are hungry. They are hungry to prove themselves, they are hungry to excel, and I was like, this is so smart. I'm working
with you.
And you don't have to chase. You know, they are so excited. They're so ahead of you. Look and feel and all of this. You know, so I agree. I've adopted your strategy. I hire young people.
Okay. There be no hand. Honorable members, I'll recognize hands that wish to move for the adoption of this minister.
Masiko?
Yes, honorable chair.
Too much.
Because you are chairing for this minute, I move for the adoption of this minute as a true reflection of the meeting.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, the Honorable Chairperson has moved for the adoption of this the minutes as they appear before us. I'll therefore recognize the hand that seeks to second the Chairperson. Honorable Sharif.
Thank you, Honorable Masiko. I hereby second the minutes as a true reflection of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sharif, and thank you, Honorable Members. The minutes have been duly adopted by the Portfolio Committee as a true reflection of the meeting. We'll then request Nelisa to fly to the last set of minutes. Thank you, Nelly. Honorable members, the last set of minutes, minutes of the 14th of October, 2022, where the meeting received a briefing by the Audit and Risk Committee.
She's so young, and
she is annual report for the 2021-2022 financial year, as well as a briefing by the Commission on Gender Equality. The minutes have been circulated, honorable members, and I will then identify the hands that wish to make corrections to the
America's nice, and you know, you just America's nice. You just up and leave. You just go. You tell everyone you're tired. You've got burnout, so you don't put in leave. My goodness.
Okay, there be no hands, honourable members. I can see the hand of honourable member Masondo. Are you moving for the adoption? Mama,
yes, I'm moving the adoption of the minute.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Honorable members, Honorable Masondo has moved.
No way.
We then identify the hand that sits to second. Honorable Sharif.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Masiko. I hereby second the minute as a true reflection of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sharif, and thank you very much, Honorable Members. The minutes have been duly adopted as a true reflection of the meeting.
Exactly.
I think we've come to the end of the item on the adoption of the minutes.
All the minutes are presented.
Chair, all the minutes have been presented. The four sets have been presented.
You are lying. No, the other day
I will therefore, because it's the last item on our agenda, I'm going to go back to the chairperson to close the meeting. Thank you, honorable members.
Because I just need the income to sustain me.
Thank you very much, honorable members.
We have even a little coffer.
Our chief, Nelisa,
I was telling you, I want to meet Lucha by the end of March. I just want to be able to afford my running, be able to afford
September.
Mali and I, you
thank you very much for the work. Well done.
We live
without you as the Popular Committee, we can never produce.
I just need to cover what I need to do. And that is, and the rest, I will make my money quickly.
And for all the advice,
and I was like,
September,
I'm just, and people are playing with such opportunities when the rest of us are just like, you know what? I'm going to put a proposal.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to chat to Dr. Tony.
Our honorable members, thank you very much, honorable members.
And I will be
your presence in the meeting. There can never be a portfolio committee meeting that correct. That
no.
You are always there in the meetings. You always make sure that you prioritize our portfolio committee. Every time when we are in the meeting, your participation adds value, and it produces the desired results. And hopefully, you know, whatever
and
works
we
that we're doing as a portfolio committee,
exactly.
You must
you
know
save
that
what
South
you need
Africans
to save, what you've got. I'm busy with my calendar for 2023
portfolio
because I don't like
surprises.
So I already
work.
Know that if
we are trying our level best, to
Mali
do oversight where
is
we are not doing well,
you know,
very well.
So maybe
they are free
like
to write to us as
a
portfolio committee and raise whatever issues they want to raise with us.
I just keep a roof over my head, have electricity and Wi-Fi, and I will, and be able to just travel from province to province,
we are not
training people,
to